Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we meet another of our new fellows of the Audio Academy, Bernard Achampong. Bernard is chair of Audio UK and an award-winning podcast founder with his company Unedited. He's passionate about storytelling and encouraging new talent, and we talked about highlights of his career so far. But first, I asked Bernard how surprised he was when he received the fellowship at last September's festival.
I was actually just expecting to be there to do a number of one-to-ones and then go back home and carry on doing pitches for Radio 4. And I got called in. Someone said, Helen wants to have a chat with you, and got called into the main auditorium, which I thought was weird, because if Helen wants to speak to me and she's in the auditorium, probably not a great place to have a chat. And then before I know it, while I was waiting, I hear a very familiar kind of life story being read out. Oh, that sounds like someone I should know. And it wasn't until they mentioned One Extra, I thought, oh, hold on a sec. Something odd is happening. But I still hadn't put two and two together that this might be a fellowship. I just thought maybe they're reading out people who, you know, you should make sure you catch up with later on in the day or something. And so, yeah, it really did blow me away.
What does the fellowship mean to you?
I often say it must mean something, because five of my previous bosses are all fellows. So if it's good enough for my bosses, then it must be good enough for me. I think for me, it's a recognition of the unorthodox path in which I came into the radio industry. I came in through community radio and pirate radio as a base before, I'd done probably about 10, 15 years in radio of some sort before I came to the BBC. For me, being able to be in that class of fellows gives me the credibility of my unusual path. And also, hopefully, it's an inspiration for other people whose paths are unorthodox to come into this career and this community that we enjoy.
You talked about your unorthodox path into radio. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what's your earliest memory of radio? When did you first kind of connect with it?
Oh, my earliest memories of radio was in Ghana. I grew up in Ghana, and I remember all the different types of voices coming through the radio. Ghana National Radio actually serves a number of different communities. So there's obviously languages in English, but also languages in different local dialects, including on the Friday when you would have the call to prayer for the Muslim community who were part of Ghana's community. So through radio, I was experiencing a lot of different cultures that I wasn't getting in my immediate household. And that was my first introduction, that radio was a very democratized way of hearing different people's voices, literally, but also allowing different people's opinions and perspectives to get shared on a slightly wider platform.
So how did you then come into the radio industry? Let's explore this path. Then you talked about community radio and pirate radio as well.
Oh yeah, pirate radio. Pirate radio, I started off as a DJ. I started off as a hip-hop DJ, and then wanting to make money, I started playing, you know, doing people's weddings and birthday parties. And, you know, I would have records by Run DMC alongside Agadoo and Duran Duran.
Grease Megamix.
Of course. Yeah. All of that good stuff. After the DMC, the original Disco Mix Club.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into it. I enjoyed playing music as a disc jockey. In fact, when I joined the BBC, when I applied to join One Extra, I applied as a DJ rather than a producer. And it was actually Ray Paul who suggested to me to consider becoming a producer rather than being a disc jockey, because I ended up talking a lot about what I was doing. And I think he spotted that, yeah, there's a lot of thinking going on here. Maybe there's some other way we could use his talents rather than just as a DJ.
You describe yourself as Che Guevara with headphones on. Where does that come from?
That was actually That was actually something that someone said to me. They said they felt I was a bit of a Che Guevara with headphones on, because I seem to be trying to cause a revolution wherever I go. I don't mean to. I just I guess because of an unorthodox background. And also, I spend a lot of time being an aeronautical engineer. That was my day job for a long time. I often ask the questions of the brief, which most people don't, because that's what you do as an engineer. You go, how closely do we have to stick to the brief? And you interrogate the brief to within an inch of its life. And then you go, well, if we don't do it that way, how else could we do it? And so I think that rebellious notion of how else could we do this? Editorial policy says you can't do this. And my response is, so what could we do if we can't do that? A lot of the industry at the moment, especially the independents, are looking for new business models now. We were blessed for many years that the BBC was able to commission pretty much everything that any audio production company decided they wanted to pitch to it. Now, with the shrinking of budgets, the airtime being reduced, we need to find new ways of selling our ideas and making money out of this business of radio. Things like pilot season is an example of being a Che Guevara of with headphones on, because I'm looking at new ways of using radio pilots for podcasts, single episode pilots for podcasts, to try and ignite a new way of selling ideas, but also creating IP for independence.
Do you think it is good to be a bit rebellious in our industry?
You have to be. There's a saying, and I'm going to get it completely wrong, something like well-behaved people don't necessarily make history.
Yeah, no, that's the one.
It's all well and good sticking to the status quo and doing what has been done. But often you find the things that really catch the audience's interest are the things that are slightly outside what they expect the usual to be. So even if 90% of your business is about delivering clear editorial with well-trodden routes of formats, that 10% of your business can be a bit wacky, and you might find there's some really interesting things that come out of that.
The other expression is, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, I haven't quite worked that one in yet, but I think I will.
It sounds very you, but
as I get more grey, I feel less worried about impressing people. And so, yeah, I might be asking for more forgiveness going forward.
I like it. Tell me about being chair of Audio UK. How did that come about? Because you've done that for quite some time now, haven't you? Over 5 years?
I was vice chair for 4 years. And with Kelly stepping down, I was elected into the role, which, one, is an honour. I think that is a reflection of some of the things that we've talked about, which is we need a new way of thinking about podcasting and audio in the UK, really around growing our businesses. We've got to tip our hats to the BBC for the work it's done, but it's asking a lot of one organization to provide an income for the rest of the industry. So how are we going to take that opportunity in our own hands as radio independents and really create streams of income through radio, through other forms of audio, through podcasting, through different medium, not just audio, but visual podcasting or IP exploitation? How are we going to do that? And I think I've been talking about that specifically through pilot season for the past few years. I think that's beginning to resonate with my peers. And that is one of the reasons, I hope anyway, that my forward-thinking attitude to what we need to do as a sector got me elected as chair. And I think we're in a very interesting and very fortunate place right now. Yes, budgets are shrinking, but back to the Che Guevara mode, it's an opportunity to try something different, because what do you have to lose?
It's a time of great change for the industry as well, isn't it? Podcasting is still relatively new. There's still so much we don't know that we can do, and AI as well. Whether we fight it, embrace it, it's not going anywhere, is it, Bernard?
Well, podcasting is so much more than we thought it would be 7 years ago. When we all heard Serial, and most people went, well, yeah, but I listened to Radio 4, so I know what that sounds like. And then there were a lot of those conversations, interview, bantercasts that came through as well. Now people are using podcasting as a way of leveraging intellectual property. It's now a means of being able to license conversations to the likes of Netflix. There is so much we could do with this thing called podcasting, which allows us to be so much more flexible. I know of a company who have produced a board game off the back of their podcast titles. People have launched perfume brands. The opportunities through podcasting, we're in the best possible time because not only is talent looking at podcasting in a different way, but brands and advertisers are starting to reconsider that very core, very niche, very easy to convert audiences that podcasts give them.
With Unedited, you started that as your company and you have many aims, but one of those is to help companies meet their diversity goals. Do you think we still have a way to go in the audio industry in that area? And if so, how do we combat that?
Yes, I think we do. I don't think it's a lack of stories and I don't think it's a lack of storytellers, but I do think it's a lack of the right stories or the right mix of stories making its way to the masses. Working with an incredible producer called Chris Mitchell, whose project, Redemption Man, recently won the Wickers pitch at the Sheffield Dockfest. Now, first-time producer for a narrative slot. It's a story that has done the rounds. He's been to all the major broadcasters and online platforms and subscription services to say, this is a great story. Would you do it? Would you commission it? And hasn't received a favorable response. So took matters into his own hands and created it. And it's a wonderful story about this enigmatic character who was around his area where he grew up, who was a man carrying an 8-foot white cross. And just like we all have those unusual characters in our community. And after he disappeared, he wants to know who this guy was. And so started to crowdsource from his community. Who was this guy? Who knew him? And what was his story? Incredible story. Shameless plug, if you haven't listened to it yet, part of pilot season, it is called Redemption. And there are many stories like that, which are still yet to be tapped into from diverse creators because they have a slightly different perspective of where they're getting the stories from. So I don't think it's a lack of storytellers or stories. It's just a lack of the opportunity for those stories to be elevated to the mass audiences.
How do we open up those opportunities then, Bernard?
I think we need to be a bit Che Guevara. I think we need to be a bit rebellious and create, you know, independent funnels. And pilot season is a funnel. We create 5 original IP and launch it at the podcast show every year and then work out what's going to happen with it from there. I think we need more of that. I think we need to, individuals need to back themselves and shape the industry up a bit. I would like to be in a position where in about 5 years' time, an independent producer says, I've got an idea. I could take it to Audible. I could take it to Radio 4. I could take it to a brand, but there are 6 other streams of income where I could go. That would be where I want to, you know, something like the Audio Content Fund from the DCMS, or could be something from a commercial supplier, a commercial brand. I would like to see that plethora of business models for great ideas.
Something else you're passionate about with Unedited and yourself is new talent, new voices. We've been focusing a lot on the podcast at the beginning of 2026 on career, either getting started or career progression. Thinking about talent, new talent, what's one piece of advice that you'd give someone listening right now who's starting out in the audio industry?
I would say get in where you fit. And develop, learn how to really develop, not just yourself, but also develop stories. One of the things that I'm most proud of, we did an audit last year and we worked out that 93 creators have come through Unedited as freelancers. They've had their first opportunity in audio through Unedited, which is awesome, and have gone into the industry, which is great. I would like to see more of that. I'd like to see people being able to open up their doors. However, it's not just giving people a job, it's allowing them to develop as storytellers, as producers, as talent in front and behind the microphone. But development is very important. Understanding who you are, what your skill set is, what your specialism is, if it's developing your idea, is the format that you're pitching it in the right format? Is it actually a web series? Is it actually a social media series? Is it really a book and you're just trying to shoehorn it into an audio format? Really develop your idea and find a space where you can really, really develop the idea to what it really could be.
I looked on your website and I love your favorite saying, which is, I don't have to move out of my chair for you to have a seat. And I think that's really important, that there is this sometimes perception that people don't encourage new talent because they're frightened of their own position in the industry. But that's not true, is it? There's so much encouragement in the audio industry to bring people on.
Definitely. I always say to people who say to me they want to start a production company, I say, I look forward to competing with you for the next Radio 4 commission. I look forward, I want to be able to look across the list of people who've been shortlisted and go, oh, we worked together then. And oh, they came to me for advice. And that's what the industry is about. I think that the bigger we make the industry in the UK, the more slice of the international pie we will be forced to have to go out and look for.
What's been your proudest moment in your career?
Oh, that is a great question. What's been my proudest moment? Obviously, there have been several. So I think working with Diane Louise Jordan on Radio 2 has been one of my most, in fact, Radio 2 has been quite an interesting place for me to just feel quite warm and cozy. We used to do a 6 a.m. show called The Sunday Hour on Radio 2. And it was a show that had moved from 8 o'clock slot in the evening to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the format had changed completely from being a show which was just about hymns and a show to a show that had to reflect contemporary Christian music and lifestyle. And we had a great time doing. Diane as a presenter is just great with people. And so we built a format which allowed her to just be available to all kinds of people first thing in the morning, whether they are Christian or not, and then build music around like thought cushions to just have a great moment of fellowship. Gosh, I sound like I'm preaching now. A great moment of fellowship at 6 o'clock in the morning. I do miss those days, actually. It's great shows.
It's something about being on really early in the morning, isn't there? Yeah. And what's been your biggest surprise so far in your career?
I think my biggest surprise would be how many people are still interested in audio as a medium. When I joined One Extra in 2002, there was a lot of conversation about everything going towards TV, everything needing to be visualized, young people not interested in long form content, short attention spans, and it did feel like the death of audio. But we're still here.
Yeah, we don't go away, do we?
No, we're still alive and very much kicking. And I look forward to more. And the great new formats and great new storytellers that are coming through, doing amazing things with audio and in the podcasting space. And I think podcasting is really just allowing people to, who similar to me, don't necessarily have access to the mainstream channels, creating your own lanes.
A big thank you to Bernard for chatting with me. We have one more new fellow, Chris North, to meet in the coming weeks. We're coming to Liverpool for a Foot in the Door event on the 5th of May. Check out the website for details and to book tickets, audioacademy.org.uk, and we'll be announcing guest speakers very soon. Make sure you save the date of the ARIA's nominations on the 22nd of April at Spotify and the ceremony itself on the 21st of May at the Roundhouse. And you can stream the nominations live on our YouTube channel. We'd love you to like and subscribe to the Audio Academy podcast wherever you usually listen and give us a share on the socials too, please. Thanks. Next week, my guest is Anna Doble, digital editor for the BBC World Service, talking about her role and visualising some of their Witness History series using animation. I'll see you next week.